الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد سورة النساء آية 43 أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون ولا جنبا إلا عابري سبيل حتى تغتسلوا وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم إن الله كان عفوا غفورا
Oh, you who have believed, approach not salah when you are in a drunken state until you know the meaning of what you utter, nor when you are in a state of janaba, the state of sexual impurity. You have to take a bath. Except when traveling on the road without enough water or just passing through a mosque, till you wash your whole body. And if you are ill or on a journey, or one of you comes after answering the call of nature, or you have been in contact with women by sexual relations, and you find no water, perform tayammum. Who can give us an adequate translation of tayammum in English? Okay, but if you wanted to explain it to a new Muslim?
Dry ablution,
mashallah. Dry ablution, that's not a bad one, Mr. Abdul Majid. Then perform tayammum with clean earth and rub therewith your faces and hands. Truly, Allah is ever of pardoning, of forgiving. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala says in commenting on these ayat, ينهى تعالى عباده المؤمنين أن يقربوا الصلاة وهم سكارى حتى يعلموا ما يقولون. Allah forbids His believing slaves that they shall approach salah while they are in a drunken state until they know that which they say. وَهَذَا شَامِلٌ لِقُرْبَانِ مَوَاضِعِ الصَّلَاةِ كَالْمَسْجِدِ This includes approaching the locations where salah is held, such as the masjid. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُمَكَّنُ السَّكْرَانُ مِنْ دُخُولِهِ A drunk person should not be permitted, should not be given the ability to enter a masjid. Pay attention, we're learning a ruling now. A drunk person should not be given access to the masjid. وَشَامِلٌ لِنَفْسِ الصَّلَاةِ And this includes the salah itself. He shouldn't be given access to salah itself. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لِلسَّكْرَانِ صَلَاةٌ وَلَا عِبَادَةٌ لِاخْتِلَاطِ عَقْلِهِ وَعَدَمِ عِلْمِهِ بِمَا يَقُولُ It is impermissible for a drunkard or for a drunk person to do salah or any act of worship because his mind is mixed up and he doesn't know what he's saying. Perhaps you've seen some drunk people before. Perhaps before Allah guided you, you used to be one. وَلِهَذَا حَدَّثَ تَعَالَى ذَلِكَ وَغَيَّاهُ إِلَى وُجُودِ الْعِلْمِ بِمَا يَقُولُ السَّكْرَانِ So Allah specified that and He referred it back to the person knowing what he's saying, having knowledge of what he's saying while he's drunk. The Shaykh said, وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ الْكَرِيمَةُ مَنْسُوخَةٌ يَا سَلَامُ بِتَحْرِيمِ الْخَمْرِ مُطْلَقًا This particular ayah is mansukha. What is mansukha?
Abrogated.
With which ayah?
Mansukha.
Yeah, well, with the abrogator. Which is which ayah? The one which where alcohol was made forbidden. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ Right? I believe it's in Surah Al-Nahl, if I'm not mistaken. إنما الخمر والميسر
والأزلام والأنصاب رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. Until the end of the ayah. على كل حال. Now we said before, what is نسخ and what is ناسخ and what is منسوخ? This is a very technical aspect of our deen. You have to understand something. You have to understand something. You're saying that Allah revealed an ayah which we will no longer use. Isn't that a big deal? It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that Allah reveals an ayah which is still recited, but you don't apply it? That's a big deal. That means you have to really know the knowledge of the nasikh and mansukh, because you're saying Allah revealed an ayah which we will not act upon. You understand the gravity of the situation. If your teacher said something and you didn't act upon it, that's a problem. And the teacher told you, everything I say, fulfill. If he gave you instructions which you didn't fulfill, you're blameworthy. If Allah revealed the Quran and He commanded us to follow what's in it, then you're coming and saying, this ayah, you don't have to act upon it. That's a very serious matter. This is why the scholars pay much attention to the knowledge or to the science of naskh. It's very technical and no one is allowed to do tafsir of the Quran. Now what we're doing, we're reading a tafsir and translating. No one has the right. Like Ali radiallahu anhu, he's seen a qassas, a rawi, someone who narrates, and he was speaking about the Quran. He told him, هَلْ عَلِمْتَ النَّاسِخْ مِنَ الْمَنْسُوخِ. Have you learned which ayat abrogated, which ones are abrogated, alayhi salam? قَالَ لَا. قَالَ هَلَكْتَ وَأَهْلَكْتَ. You have destroyed yourself and you have destroyed others. Because you can be telling the people to act upon the ayah like this one. For example, we have new Muslims. And you say, Allah said, when you're drunk, akhi, don't come to salah. What is that telling him? I can get drunk. But when I'm drunk, I shouldn't pray. Isn't it? And if no one explained to him that there's another ayah which revealed that, you know, alcohol was made haram, he will never know. He's a new Muslim. He's still learning the deen. He will leave this place and go get drunk. And he will say, the teacher, as the da'wah sends and told him, he just said, don't come to salah while drunk. He didn't say, don't get drunk. And the fact that Allah said, don't come to the salah while drunk, meaning people were getting drunk outside of salah. Kapish? You understand? Or are you sleepy? Allah, you look sleepy. Huh. So, it is important then to understand the nasikh and al-mansukh. And the scholars have authored tens of books on this science. And of course there's a variation between the tafsir of the Sahaba and the generations. Actually, from the time of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, moving on, the concept of nasikh changed. According to the earlier generation, Sahaba and the Tabi'in, any rule, any general rule which was particularized, which was made minor or specific, which was specified, they considered this a form of nasikh. For example, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. So وَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ and الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ. This istithna, this exception is nasikh for the first one. But after Imam Shafi'i, it became something else. It became the ineffectiveness of a ruling due to the revelation or the abrogation of a ruling which came after. Yani a new ruling which renders the previous one invalid, and then you no longer act upon it. Because the latter one or the later one abrogated the previous one, so the later one was valid and is to be acted upon, the previous one was no longer valid. Is that clear? Khaira. So, فإن الخمر في أول الأمر كان غير محرم. Intoxicants in the beginning of the prophethood obviously was not forbidden. In fact, it only became haram towards the end. Subhanallah. ثم إن الله تعالى عرض لعباده بتحريمه. عرض لعباده بتحريمه. First, it was halal. Then it was don't approach Allah.
يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر. They ask you concerning intoxicants and gambling. قل فيهما إثم كبير. Say in them there's great sin. ومنافع للناس. And there's some benefit for the people. وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. But their sin, their harm, the damage is superior to the benefit. ثم أنه تعالى نهاهم على الخمر عند حضور الصلاة. This was before. Then Allah prohibited that they come to salah while drunk. First it was that way. There's a lot of harm, some good, but the harm is greater than good. Then the next stage. Don't come to salah while drunk. Don't come to salah while drunk. ثم أنه تعالى حرموا على الإطلاق في جميع الأوقات. Then Allah forbade it completely at all times. في قوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا. The ayah which recorded إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه. سلام. Oh, you have believed. Verily, intoxicants, gambling, al-ansab wal-azlam are like the altars and the throwing of arrows are all abomination from the handiwork of shaitan, so strictly avoid it. وَمَعْ هَذَا فَإِنَّهُ يَشَدُّ تَحْرِيمُهُ وَقْتَ حُدُورِ الصَّلَاةِ. It's haram, and if someone was ignoring the ruling and still consuming intoxicants, it is even more forbidden than the time of salah. لتضمن هذه المفسدة العظيمة بعدم حصول مقصود الصلاة التي هو روحها ولبها. Because of the great harm which lies in, which negates the essence of the salah. Because the essence of the salah is you know what you say. And when you're drunk, you don't know what you say. So that negates the soul and the essence of the salah. وهو الخشوع وحضور القلب. It is the submissiveness and the presence of the heart. فإن الخمر يسكر القلب. Intoxicants intoxicate your heart. ويصد عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة. And it prevents you from remembering Allah and from salah. Excuse me for this one. ويؤخذ من المعنى منع الدخول في الصلاة في حال النعاس المفرط. جميل. We learn from the general meaning. Now listen, the ayah is about what? Don't go to salah while you're drunk. Even though it has been abrogated, the ulama deduce other benefits which may relate to us in this day and time. One of the things which we may deduce from the meaning is that you should not enter salah while in the state of extreme sleepiness. I hope that's a word.
Drowsiness,
maybe, okay. But drowsy and sleepy may not be synonymous at times. على كل حال, let's say drowsiness is to avoid the difference. جزاكم الله خير. الذي لا يشعر صاحبه بما يقول فعل. The one who's, if he knows, the one who has this issue, the one who's extremely drowsy or sleepy, does not know what he's saying and what he's doing.
بل لعل فيه إشارة إلى أنه ينبغي لمن أراد الصلاة أن يقطع عنه كل شاغل يشغل فكره.
Rather, we can also learn from this that anyone who wishes to enter into salah must terminate any distraction which may distract him from salah. Anything which will occupy your mind, do it. This is why we learn. The Shaykh is going to mention. Now, كمدافعة الأخبثين. Who can translate that? But those who don't speak Arabic first. مدافعة الأخبثين. أخبثين is a singular, dual or plural?
Dual.
Dual. Right. The two خبيث, in fact. خبيث, singular. خبيثان وخبيثين, dual. And خبث أو خبثاء is the plural. معي؟ الآن خبيثين, why did it come with the ya? Why do we say كمدافعة الأخبثين and not الأخبثان؟ مفعول به. Is it? Incorrect. Look at the sentence, أخي. كمدافعة الأخبثين. مدافعة is not a verb to have a مفعول به. كمدافعة. ك is what؟ لا. وراء حروف الجر من إلى. من إلى عن على في ربا والكاف واللام والباء. Did you not learn the prepositions؟ طيب ك حرف جر كمدافعة مجرور الأخبثين مجرور بالياء لأنه مثنى. الياء مثنى منصوب ومجرور بالياء مرفوع بالألف. If it was فاعل, if it was the doer, or if it was in the state of رفع, it would be أخبثان. على كل حال, this is good for your grammar. كمدافعة الأخبثين, which is the two, which is the, they call them number one and number two. Right? In Saudi Arabia, they call them 110 and 220 volts. Okay? And then every country, they have their own naming of these things, but you know what I'm saying. نعم. والتوق لطعام ونحوه. And being inclined or looking forward to some food or something along these lines. كما ورد ذلك بحديث صحيح as in the حديث صحيح. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا صلاة. There's no صلاة. The ulama say there's no perfection. يعني the صلاة is deficient for the one who is looking forward to some food or he's struggling against going to the hammam. That is what is intended by مدافعة الأخبثين. يعني you need to go to the hammam and you're setting as you go to salah while you need to urinate or defecate. معي? This is not favorable. Salah is valid. It's makruh. It is makruh. Some, you know, I don't know if the ulama who said it's haram, but usually they say it is makruh. على كل حال. Also we learn from the food. If food has been presented, and believe it or not, if food has been presented at the time of salah and you're hungry, you're eating out of hunger, not because you're trying to have a dessert after your meal, then you don't go to salah and you eat first. You eat until you're done. Based on the hadith of Rasulullah. If the food comes, if the food is presented, you've been waiting for the food, you're hungry, and you are. Bring the food right there at the time of Iqamah, and the food is there, eat first. This is what Islam teaches. But you say, brother, salah. Say, look, the Messenger of Allah said, zip it. Okay, don't be philosophical. Second, let's say you go to salah. Allahu Akbar, where's your mind? Right there, man. You can smell the chicken. You can visualize it. You can almost eat it. What salah is this? What salah is this? No. Finish up. Get it out of your system. Not as in finish up and go and get out of your system. Meaning that wish, that will get out of your system. Then go to salah. That's what Islam teaches. Why? Because that shows you that you're supposed to be in a state of reflection at the time of salah. It is not some gym, you know, gymnastics or some exercise which one engages in. ثم قال ولا جنبا إلا عابر سبيل, nor in the state of sexual impurity except if you're passing by. أي لا تقربوا الصلاة حال كون أحدكم جنبا إلا في هذه الحال. Don't even come close to salah while in that state except in that case which is just a bypasser. وهو عابر السبيل أي تمرون في المسجد ولا تنفثون فيه, meaning you only pass by the masjid. You may go from one door and get out of the other, but you don't sit in the masjid while in the state of junub. Meaning after one, in the case of the semen, okay, coming out, whether it is for whatever reason, whether it is for lawful reasons like someone's, you know, with his wife, or because of something wrong which they did, whatever the case may be, once or a dream, a wet dream. All of these, it doesn't matter how you reach a point where you have, you know, you've had semen come out, you are in a state of junub. Obviously you cannot read the Quran, you cannot touch the Quran, you cannot go to the masjid and sit there in the masjid, you cannot do salah, you cannot do siyam. Can you do siyam?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Prophet used to wake up in the morning, and you know, he would make ghusl after the time of Fajr had come in, alayhi salatu wasalam, which means that at the time and the initiation of fasting, he was in a state of junub. Ala kulli hal, that's another ruling. Hatta taghtasilu, until you wash or shower. أي فإن اغتسلتم فهو غاية المنع من قربان الصلاة للجنوب. Once you have showered, this is the epitome, this is the only thing which prevents you from approaching salah while in state of junub. فيحل الجنوب المرور في المسجد فقط. You're only allowed to pass by the masjid while in the state of junub. Once you have showered, and you all know the description or the manner or the procedure of ghusl, correct? Inshallah. You should learn this in the books of fiqh, which are readily available in English. In case you don't know Arabic, no excuse. There's the book of Sheikh Fawzan, I believe, right? It's available in English. Many books of fiqh are available in English. Go and learn how to make correct ghusl, which is something that is expected of you every Jumu'ah. In fact, according to many of the scholars, it's obligatory on you to shower and do the ghusl of Friday. To do a ghusl. Some will say it's recommended. Many of them say it's wajib ala al-mukhtalif, the one who has reached the age of discretion of puberty, you must shower before you go to the masjid on Jumu'ah. Which means that you cannot go there stinky. And you cannot be working before Jumu'ah, then go straight from work. And I mean by work, labor work. Now if you're sitting in an office under an air conditioner, barakallahu feek. But if you're working out there, you know, in construction, then you go to the masjid, this is a big no-no. Because it harms the people. There's nothing worse, nothing worse than a stinky brother next to you in salah. Honestly. Because you don't know how to pray anymore. You don't know how to pray anymore. Whether it is his breath or his armpits or his thobe or whatever that is, man. It's very, very annoying. It's haram. The angels are harmed. إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَتَأَذَّى مِمَّا يَتَأَذَّى مِنْهُ بَنُوا آدَمَ. The angels are harmed by the stinky person in the salah. They don't care. They go work and work, and he comes with this clothes dirty with mud and cement and all these things on him, and he just enters salah. No, Habibi. Why can't you buy it though for 15 riyals? When you go to salah, change. What's the big deal? When you make wudu, you will clean yourself. When you use some perfume, you will smell good. Put on it though, only for salah. Khalas. When you finish, go back to your regular clothes and work. But it's not important enough for them. Or they're ignorant, they don't know any better. But I mean, a human being by nature should be more considerate. Forget about whether they knew the ruling in Islam or not. I mean, out of consideration to others, right? So inshallah, yani, we strictly avoid, and which means you can't be eating bait with garlic sauce before salah. And I'm amazed at people. I'm with a brother, big beard, mashallah. And this before salat al-dhuhr, maybe half an hour before salat al-dhuhr, we go out bake. First thing, opens the garlic sauce, is about to stuff the chicken. I say, hey! He said, what? Bake with no sauce, bake with no garlic. I said, subhanallah al-azim, you're going to the masjid. He said, no, I'm special. I will never burp. I go like this all the time. I said, listen, ya akhi, billah alayk, stop this philosophy, man. I took the thing away from him. He was traumatized. First time he ever eats bake without garlic sauce. And it's very sad that someone would not consider that he's going to the house of Allah soon. And you know how stinky the burp is after you eat garlic or onions. And no, it doesn't come from your mouth. You can brush your teeth for 3 hours. As soon as you burp once from your stomach, you will kill the person next to you. It's from the stomach, it's not from the mouth. So you cannot be eating garlic before any salah and then go to salah. If you love garlic so much, pray Isha and go straight over there and shove as much as you want down your throat. Before that, it is haram. It's haram to eat it and go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? The angels are harmed. And cigarettes stink more than garlic, and sweat is just as bad as all of them. Tayyib. نعم. وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر. And if you are ill or you are in a state of travel, أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط, أحد منكم من الغائط, or you defecate, أو لامستم النساء, or if you had sexual relations with women, فلم تجدوا ماء, and you find not any water, فتيمموا, then do تيمم. فأباح التيمم للمريض مطلقا مع وجود الماء وعدمه. We learn from this that Allah allowed the sick person to use tamammum. And in all cases, whether there's available water or there isn't, pay attention. With the availability of water or the inavailability of water for the sick person, he may do tayammum. The Shaykh said, وَالْعِلَّةُ الْمَرَضُ الَّذِي يَشُكُّ مَعَ اسْتِعْمَالِهِ. And the reason is the kind of illness wherein it is difficult to use water. Some kind of diseases, water is very harmful to the patient. Or someone with a broken, you know, something that is broken, or something which may, you know, a wound which hasn't been covered for whatever reason, you can't be putting water on that. Right or wrong? So here the tayammum is allowed. وَكَذَلِكَ السَّفَرُ. And similarly travel. فَإِنَّهُ مَظِنَّةَ فَقْدُ الْمَاءِ أو فَقْدِ الْمَاءِ. It is very likely that during travel you will not find water. Now alhamdulillah, nowadays, you know, it is easy. You take a bottle, you stop at a bagada, and the case is closed. Back then, if they were in the desert, on camels, you better believe there was no Danube around for them to, you know, pull over and get some water. Once you go on a long journey from Mecca to Medina, then all you have is the water which you have, or some well, if they find a well or some other resource, natural resource. Otherwise, no water. وَإِذَا فَقَدَهُ الْمُسَافِرُ أَوْ وَجَدَ مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِحَاجَتِهِ مِنْ شُرْبٍ وَنَحْوِهِ جَازَ لَهُ التَّيَمُّمُ. Beautiful. If the traveler loses his water, or he only has enough which he needs for his drink. Yani Islam considers the fact that if you have a bottle, and that bottle, you don't want to use it for wudu because you need to drink it. Even though you have water, because it is designated for drinking, you may do tayammum. Alhamdulillah. Because if you don't drink, what's going to happen to you? If you don't drink, what's going to happen to you?
Dehydration.
And what happens after you dehydrate? Are you allowed to kill yourself in Islam? Who can give me an evidence? From the Quran. There are two ayat which you have to memorize as a da'i. Have to memorize. Two ayat you have to memorize as a da'i. Because this is of asl. Asl, this is a fundamental principle in Islam. When you give a da'wah to the non-Muslims and you enter into the issue of suicide and not suicide and this and that, you better know the evidences. You tell him it's haram to kill yourself, he tells me who to where. Show me where in your Quran.
La taqtulu
anfusakum. That's the first ayah. Clear. Do not kill yourselves. Inna Allah kana bikum rahima. Allah is ever merciful to you. The other ayah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى تَهْلُكَ. Do not throw yourselves into the state of destruction with your own hands. The same benefit, same objective behind the ayah. That do not destroy yourself, do not kill yourself. You can fortify that with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَا ضَرَرْ وَلَا ضِرَارْ. There shall be no harm and no reciprocation of harm. You cannot harm yourself, you cannot harm others. لا ضرر, cannot harm yourself. And that's why the ulama say, if you had a tattoo in your jahiliyyah and you become a Muslim, for you to remove the tattoo, there's harm. There's pain associated with it. There's harm to your body, and they say, you don't have to remove it. You don't have to remove it. Why? لا ضرر ولا ضرر. Because this is going to create harm for you. And Islam doesn't allow you to harm yourself in this fashion. SubhanAllah. Nowadays they have laser, which I don't know if it's that painful, but it costs a lot of money. So most people cannot afford to remove their old tattoos. They stay with them, which is fine. If one is able to remove them, this is better. But if one is unable to remove them, this is fine. Why? Because they happened before Islam, and whatever you've done before Islam, you're not held accountable for. All of it will be erased upon embracing Islam. Al-Islamu yajubbu ma qablahu. Islam will eliminate and erase whatever preceded it. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. طيب. أين نحن؟ نحن هنا. نعم. وكذلك إذا أحدث الإنسان ببول أو غائط أو ملامسة النساء. Similarly, if a person أحدث, meaning he becomes in the state of impurity. That's why it's called hadath. gags, you know, farting, excuse my language, or excuse my French, farting, urinating, defecating, these are all called hadath, something which will remove you from the state of purity to the state of impurity, minor impurity. The Sheikh said, similarly, if someone, you know, does hadath, such as urination, defecation, or having relations with women, فَإِنَّهُ يُبَحُ لَهُ التَّيَمُّمِ إِذَا لَمْ يَجِدِ الْمَاءَ حَضَرًا وَسَفَرًا. He also may do tayammum if he cannot find water, whether he is a resident or he's a traveler. Again, if water is not available. كَمَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ عُمُومِ الْآيَةِ, as the general understanding of the ayah alludes to. وَالْحَاصِلُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَبَاحَ التَّيَمُّمْ فِي حَالَتَيْنِ. The conclusion, or the bottom line, is that Allah allowed tayammum in two cases. And memorize this. حَالَةُ عَدَمِ الْمَاءِ أَوْ حَالُ عَدَمِ الْمَاءِ, the state of inavailability of water. وَهَذَا مُطْلَقًا فِي الْحَضَرِ وَالسَّفَرِ, this is general whether you are a resident or a traveler. If there's no water, you may do tayammum. Whether you are at home or you are traveling, it doesn't matter. No water, tayammum. That's the first one. وَحَالَةُ الْمَشَقَّةِ بِاسْتِعْمَالِهِ بِمَرَضٍ وَنَحْوِهِ, the other state or condition is the difficulty. When there's difficulty in using water because of some illness or something along these lines, where using water will be harmful to you. نعم. واختلف المفسرون في قولي في معنى قوله أو لمستم النساء. Beautiful. The scholars have differed concerning the statement of Allah لمستم. Why? Who can tell me why there's a difference of opinion based on the wording?
Because touching some scholars say it is touchable, and you have to do it.
So the actual wording creates that. Because what is the verb used here, or what is the word?
Lems.
Lems is actually touch. Touching. It is not more than that, usually. So the meaning of the ayah outwardly, if you lamas from Nisa, once you touch a woman, even if it's this is lems, then you're in that state. You've lost your wudu. Right? However, some of the scholars say what is intended is intercourse, sexual intercourse, jima'. هل المراد بذلك الجماع, is what is intended, sexual intercourse. فتكون الآية نصا في جواز التيمم للجنب كما تكاثرت بذلك الحديث الصحيح. If it is, then this ayah becomes a clear evidence that it is permissible for the one in the state of janabah to do tayammum, as it has been supported with many authentic narrations in Bukhari and Muslim, that the one who is in the state of junub may do tayammum, even though he's supposed to what? Shower, correct? But he is also allowed. If the ayah means sexual intercourse. أو المراد بذلك اللمس مجرد اليمس باليد, or what intended could be merely touching with the hand. ويقيد ذلك بما إذا كان مضمة خروج المذي. It's okay, it happens. ويقيد ذلك بما إذا كان مضمة خروج المذي. Some of the ulama said that it is not merely the touching, rather this touching is specified with the secretion of precum, if we want to call it precum. I don't know what's the technical term for madi, but it is that that kind of white see-through, transparent liquid, which is what would you call that? Not elastic, obviously, but it's thick and sticky. Thick and sticky, and it's just kind of, you know, expands. It expands. You know what I'm talking about. No. Which is basically which comes out when someone is sexually aroused. In the case of someone being, you know, sexually aroused, then this may come out. Before, someone may never go through the whole thing. Once someone is sexually excited, then this automatically, in many cases, is released or secreted. وَهُوَ الْمَسْلِ الَّذِي يَكُونْ لِشَهْوَةٍ. So the ulama said, it is not merely touching, it is touching which may lead to the secretion of honey, which is usually with one's wife. Usually, even with one's wife, if someone touches her, you know, or touches his wife long enough or in a particular way, he may get excited as well. Whereas, the ulama said, if he touches her without that, then it is fine. So they further specify, if he touches his wife without anything happening, ما في مشكلة. If he touches her and something comes out, then there's a مشكلة. ونعم فتكون الآية دالة على نقض الوضوء بذلك. So then the ayah becomes an evidence that your wudu is invalidated because of that touching with that feeling, with that shahwa, with that desire. واستدل الفقهاء بقوله فلم تجدوا بوجود طلب الماء عند دخول الوقت. Now listen to this now. Look at the technicality of the scholars and their deduction. They learned from the ayah, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا, and you did not, or you could not find water. When do we say that you did not find something? When can we say that you did not find something? After what? After search. No, if you didn't find it, meaning you were doing what? You were looking for it. You wouldn't say, I didn't find it unless you have looked for it. If you were sitting here and I say, hey, have you seen my phone? Do you say, I didn't find it or I didn't see it? I didn't see it, right? Because you didn't do anything. However, if I told you, can you help me look for my phone? And you go out and you look, you come back, say, what happened? Say, I didn't find it. Why? There was some search made. When the search failed, then we say that you searched and then you didn't find. So Allah says, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا, you did not find any water. The ulama learned from this that means you must first fetch for water before tayammum is allowed for you. And you don't understand and say, okay, no water, bismillah, tayammum. Say, no. Come here, man. You need to make some search first. Ask, you know, do your job. When nothing has been found, we say, okay, now tayammum is allowed for you. Not before that. Ajeeb. بوجود طلب الماء عند دخول الوقت. And when at the time of time, entrance of time of salah, قالوا لأنه لا يقال لم يجد لمن لم يطلب. Because we did not say he did not find for the one who did not fetch or he did not search. بل لا يكون ذلك إلا بعد طلب. Rather, this only takes place after you look for something, you search for something, then you say you didn't find it. واستدل بذلك أيضا واستدل أو استدل بذلك أيضا على أن الماء المتغير بشيء من الطاهرات يجوز بل يتعين التطهر به لدخول بقوله فلم تجدوا ماء وهذا ماء. The Sheikh said, rather, we can also deduce from this that the water which has been changed with some other pure things, water, okay, if you had some water, a small amount of water, and some child urinated in this water, where the smell is there, the color has changed. Is this ma tahur? No. If you had some Kool-Aid or Tang or some other substance which is tahir and it was mixed with water, can you use it for wudu? The scholars have differed. The scholars have differed. The Sheikh said, we learn from this that if there's water which is pure that has mixed the intibik, it says al-mutaghayyir, water which has changed or has been changed with other pure things, then you must use it because it is included in the word ma, and this is ma. It is still water which you mix with other substances. Now the scholars have different. Some of it, you know, they go to the ma'un qahur and quhur and the whole technicality of that. You go back to the books of fiqh. Nevertheless, according to this, the deduction of the shaykh from this ayah, then because what is mixed with it is tahir, you may use it. Rather, you have to use it. You have to use it. ونوزع من ذلك ونوزع من ذلك بأنه ماء غير مطلق وفي ذلك نظر. But the Sheikh said that this is something which is debatable, obviously. This is something which is فِذَلِكَ نَظَرْ, meaning this is something that you need to reflect upon more. It is not something that is conclusive in this fashion.
وفي هذه الآية الكريمة مشروعية هذا الحكم العظيم الذي امتن به الله على هذه الأمة، وهو مشروعية التيمم، وقد أجمع على ذلك العلماء ولله الحمد. So in this noble ayah, there's the permissibility or the lawfulness of this great ruling which Allah has, you know, bestowed upon us as a favor upon His slaves, upon His ummah, which is the permissibility or the lawfulness of tayammum. And the scholars have, there's a consensus among the scholars about that fact, and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because really it's mercy from Allah. وَأَنَّ التَّيَمُّمْ يَكُونُ بِالصَّعِيدُ الطَّيِّبِ And that التَّيَمُّمْ should be with the صَعِيدُ الطَّيِّبِ وَهُوَ كُلُّ مَا تَصَاعَدَ عَلَى وَجِّ الْأَرْضِ Listen now. صَعِيد, that they call him صَعِيدِ now for this particular people, but that's besides the point. صَعِيد is whatever is on the surface. كُلُّ مَا تَصَاعَدَ This is why, what do we call the elevator? مِصْعَد. Huh? Some people call me Abu Mus'ab. Said Abu Mus'ab. I'm not Abu Mus'ab, man. Jazakallah khair. Abu Elevator. If you want to translate that to English. Anyways, some people call me Abu Musa, Abu Musat. It's different names. As long as Abu Mus'ab is not there, then you know they're happy. Even though I correct them almost in every email. Mus'ab. Mashi halak bas. Al-Muhim, huwa kullu ma tasa'ab. Anything which rises to the surface of something is sa'id. Tayyib. What is tayyib? Good, pure. Cannot be something filthy. وَهُوَ كُلْ مَا تَصَعَدْ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ سَوَاءً كَانَ لَهُ غُبَارٌ أَمْ لَا According to the shape, whether there's dust associated with it or not. Because some of the ulama say it must be dust, right? The shaykh said it doesn't matter. وَيُحْتَمَلْ أَنْ يَخْتَصْ ذَلِكَ بِذِي الْغِبَارِ And it is possible that this could be strictly for dusty surfaces. لأن الله قال فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم Because Allah said then wipe your faces and your hands منه meaning with it. وما لا غبار له لا يمسح به But whatever does not have dust cannot be used as something for you to wipe with. So the Shaykh is presenting both opinions. وقوله فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم منه So then wipe your faces and your hands. هذا محل المسح في التيمم. This is the location or these are the body parts which you are supposed to wipe during تيمم. الوجه جميعه واليدين إلى الكوعين. Your whole face and your hands until the كوع. Where's the كوع? Is it the wrist or the elbow? Is it the wrist or the elbow? Now, this is a complicated matter. Because the common people, the language which is used among the people, kuwa is the elbow. Right? But I do remember that I've come across this in one of the books, that actually kuwa is the wrist. Technically. So what we need to do is, we need to leave this one on hold, go back to the maraji', the resources, and find out exactly what is intended with kuwa, then we'll bring it back. Unless the Shaykh says it. كَمَا دَلَتْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْحَدِيثُ صَحِيحَ No, it doesn't. He didn't mention it. وَيَسْتَحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ذَلِكَ بِضَرْبَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ This is preferred that you do it with one strike. It is not three times. كما دل على ذلك حديث عمار as the حديث of عمار indicates وفيه أن تيمم الجنب كتيمم غيره بالوجه واليدين and we learn in that the تيمم of the one in the state of janaba is similar as the other تيمم which is only the face and the hand meaning whether you are making wudu or you're trying to purify yourself from wudu or from a minor hadath or janaba It's the same method. The tayammum is the same. You don't do additional things. Because we have the hadith of one sahabi who actually, what did he do? He rolled himself over on dust, thinking that, you know, this would be, you know, because it was janaba. Radiallahu anhu wa Allah. Look how, but come on. But why we smile? Look how keen they were on practicing the deen. Yani his salah was so important, being in a state of purity was so important that he was willing to roll himself over on the ground
Because he did it يعني with analogy, logically, that if wudu requires face and hands, then janaba, because I'm supposed to shower, requires my whole body. SubhanAllah. Nowadays, one of us doesn't even make sure that water has reached all his body parts in wudu. Just like this, he don't know what he's doing. But if one spot doesn't have water, your wudu is invalid, your salah is invalid. And Rasulullah seen some men while making wudu, they left some part of their ankles. He said, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Woe to the heels or to the ankles from the hellfire. Because they left a spot which water did not reach. So when you make wudu, be very careful. Make sure that you wash everything. Nothing is left. And when it says the elbow, let's leave the court for now, that it means you have to go above it a little bit to ensure that it has been washed. Don't go right at the corner. You go a little bit, not all the way up, but above it to ensure that that part has been washed. Do we have time for this fa'idah? Yes. We have to go quickly through it. أعلم أن قواعد الطب تدور على ثلاث قواعد. الله أكبر. Know that the fundamentals of medicine are established upon three principles. First, حفظ الصحة عن المؤذيات. Preventing or prevention from harmful things. To prevent harmful things. والاستفراغ منها. And eliminating it in the case of its existence. والحمية عنها. And protecting yourself from it. وقد نبه تعالى عليه في كتاب العزيز. Allah mentioned all of them and alluded to all of them in His noble book. أما حفظ الصحة والحمية عن المؤذي فقد أمر بالأكل والشرب وعدم الإسراف. As for protecting your health and avoiding and protecting it from things which harm it, Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded that you eat and drink, but you're not extravagant in doing so. وأباح للمسافر والمريض الفطر حفظا لصحتهما باستعمال ما يصلح البدن على وجه العدل. And Allah allowed the traveler and the ill to break their fast in order to maintain their health and to do that which is good for their body. In a form of justice or in a just manner. وحماية للمريض عما يضره, and to protect the sick person from that which harms him. وأما استبراغ المؤذي فقد أباح تعالى للمحرم المتأذي برأسه أن يحلقه لإزالة الأبخرة المحتلقة فيه. As for removing something which has already afflicted you, then Allah allowed the person in a state of ihram to shave. Remember the Sahabi who had lice. He had so much lice that it was falling on his face. And he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he showed him, he told him to shave and to pay the fidya. So he allowed him to remove something which was harmful to him. فَفِيهِ تَنْبِيهُ عَلَى اسْتِفْرَاغِ مَا هُوَ أَوْلَى مِنْهَا مِنَ الْبَوْلِ وَالْغَائِطِ وَالْقَيْءِ وَالْمَنِيِّ وَالدَّمُ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. And there's a lesson we learn from that it is more deserving to eliminate and to get rid of harm. Things which harm you, like urination or urine, feces, vomit, semen, blood, and other than that. نبه على ذلك ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى. ابن القيم had made mention of all that رحمه الله. We're approaching the end. وفي الآية وجوب تعميم مسح الوجه واليدين. We learn from the ayah that the obligation of encompassing your face and your hands while doing tayammum. وَأَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ التَّيَمُّمُ, and that it is permissible to do tayammum وَلَوْ لَمْ يَضِفُ الْوَقْتِ, even if the time is not going out. يعني you don't have to keep looking for salat al-duhr. You don't have to keep looking until asr, then when you don't find, you drink no, from the beginning of time. If you don't find water, tayammum is permissible. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يُخَاطَبْ بِطَلَبِ الْمَاءِ إِلَّا بَعْدَ وُجُودِ سَبَبِ الْوُجُودِ, and that you're not expected to go fetching for water until that which necessitates it exists. Wallahu a'lam, and Allah knows best. ثم ختم الآية بقوله. Then Allah concluded the ayah with a statement. إن الله كان عفوًا غفورًا. Allah is the all-pardoning, the all-forgiving. أي كثير العفو والمغفرة لعباده المؤمنين. Allah is full of pardoning and forgiveness to His believing slaves. بتيسير ما أمرهم به, by facilitating everything He commanded them to do. وتسيري غاية التسيير, and making it very easy بحيث لا يشق على العبد امتثاله فيحرج بذلك. Wherein it is not difficult for the slave to carry it out, so it becomes there is hardship upon him in that. ومن عفوه ومغفرته أن رحم هذه الأمة بشرع طهارة التراب بدل الماء عند تعذر استعماله. And part of the mercy of Allah is that He legislated for this ummah purity through dust instead of water when water is unavailable. ومن عفوه ومغفرته أن فتح للمذنبين باب التوبة والإنابة. And part of His mercy and pardoning is that He opened for the sinful people, for the wrongdoers, His doors of repentance and returning to Him, and He invited them. ووعدهم بمغفرة ذنوبهم, and He promised them to forgive their sins. ومن عفوه ومغفرته أن المؤمن لو أتاه بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيه لا يشرك به شيئا لأتاه بقرابها مغفرة. And part of His pardoning and mercy is that if a slave comes to Allah with the equivalent of this earth in sins, but he comes to Allah without associating any partners, Allah will bring something similar to that of forgiveness. Of course, that doesn't mean that we count on that and we go sin and disobey Allah, say, well, I came with no shirk, because you don't know whether you will remain a muwahid if you continue to sin. Nah. And with this, we will conclude our dars, inshallah ta'ala. Next week, bin Allah, if we will remain alive and healthy, we will deal with some of the characteristics of the kuffar and the munafiqeen and the Jews, and this is very important for us to know as well. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.